WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Bet you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And since they asked us to give them a shout-out, I'm going to give them a shout-out. If you're on the Instagrams and you want to see some cool design in terms of interiors, you know, kind of thing, bathroom tile, kitchen tile, tile in general, and other cool stuff, check out OWSI Flooring and Design on Instagram because they're awesome and they have some really pretty stuff. So that's from me because I love stuff like that. So anyway, it's Thursday. We're here. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. He's Sir Rockin'. We have stuff to talk about. Fun stuffs.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/RackRadioShow. You can tweet the show at RackRadioShow, at WildTalkRadio, at LindsWard, or come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Gerwick.net and interact up with us live. It's Shawn Michaels night.
It is Shawn Michaels night because Shawn Michaels may bless us with something. Maybe.
Maybe. Possibly. We'll get to that in our second segment. But all music is Shawn related.
I swear to God, Vince sang this. Incarnation.
No. This is some random person who made a song.
But it sounds like
Sounds like it.
But it's not Vince, but it sounds so much like Vince. It's like, are we sure?
Yes.
Are we sure it's not Vince McMahon and they just, you know, put somebody else's name on it for reasons?
No, it is actually called Shawn Michaels' Second TNA Theme Song. That's the name of the song.
I know, but I can so picture Vince McMahon in the studio rocking out to this singing I'm a Sexy Boy.
He's probably at least done it 3-4 dozen times.
At least.
A year.
At least.
Back in the heyday.
And I'm sure he wasn't sober when it happened.
I mean, he's probably done the Shawn entrance a whole lot of times. Think about it, Vince may have the chaps.
Oh, I'm sure Vince had the chaps back in the day.
I mean, Vince probably rocked a good pair of chaps and strutted his stuff all up down Connecticut. There's your visual, everyone. Vince
There's
McMahon
your is mental image for Thursday night. Vince McMahon and Aspen's chaps for you.
Yep. Enjoy that one, universe.
Oh, God. We're going to have more on Vince McMahon later because we're talking Camp WWE because the finale was this past week. So we have to talk about that. But we also have news. We have NXT. We have SmackDown. And, well, Tweet of the Week. All your favorites. And I say we don't waste any more time and jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBoot.com. And, well, we have a couple of really big stories this week that we're actually going to start with instead of saving for the end. And I think the first one that we have to talk about, that I want to talk about, is that it's been announced The Undertaker will be coming back to Madison Square Garden this summer.
Yeah, he is scheduled to compete at the Madison Square Garden house show this July. Who his opponent is right now is to be determined. Yeah, shows the man is healthy. There was a report a few weeks back that the idea to use The Undertaker 4 or 5 times a year in terms of matches is sort of a thing, and he'll return to the ring on July 7th at Madison Square Garden, the same night Ronda Rousey makes her Madison Square Garden debut, where she'll be competing. This is nothing to do with ticket sales, as ticket sales are perfectly fine. Everything is moving the way they should. It's just putting The Undertaker back in the ring. Those hips, they feel good.
He feels good, I think, because I was talking to a friend about this, and I kind of would agree with it, that The Undertaker sort of has missed out on the last 2 years of his career because he was sidelined with hip and back and knee problems, and so he was reduced down to being able really to do one match a year. Obviously, that's not what he wants. And so now that he's had the surgery done on his hips, at the very least, if not his knees too, he feels better. He's ready to get back in the ring. Obviously, it's not going to be full-time, but it is going to be, like you said, 4 to 5 times a year, just enough to get him out of the house and get him moving and really kind of, I think, have the send-off that he wants to have. I know a lot of people were upset about this. And I was kind of upset about it initially, but I've realized that it's not necessarily WWE that is forcing him to come back. I think a lot of this has to do with that The Undertaker just wants to come back.
If The Undertaker did not want to wrestle, he would not be wrestling. If The Undertaker did not want to work this house show, he wouldn't be working this house show. Because remember, a couple of years ago, after WrestleMania with Shane, he was scheduled for a European tour. He was all booked, ready to go. And then he backed out last minute. He was done at that point. I think his body was just broken down at that point. So it's like, he picks and chooses when he wants to do things. He's feeling healthy, and yeah, he's missed out on a lot. 31 was when he feuded with Bray, right?
Yes.
Where Bray feuded with himself against The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But that was the year The Undertaker worked a bunch, and you figured that was the send-off year where he worked 4 or 5 times that year. He worked a house show tour in Mexico that year with Luke and Braun. And then they wrestled at Survivor Series, and he worked a couple of times. He did the sell with Brock. Like, that was the send-off year. It's like, I've mentioned this a bunch of times. It's like, The Undertaker, on his way out, shouldn't just wrestle one time. It makes no sense for him to be gone for a year and just wrestle once. Because he's basically retired at that point. But if he's around, and you're using him a little bit, a retirement means more. Oh, I just show up and I'm done and I'm just not wrestling the following year. It's like, it's not really a retirement. It's just, you're gone. You're already out of our mind. So if you're out of mind, we actually get to say goodbye to him proper way. Whether he's retiring at WrestleMania, whether he's retiring in 2 WrestleManias, whatever it may be, at least he's now in a position where he can have that final real send-off.
Yeah, agreed. And also, I think a lot of this has to do with that his youngest child is old enough now to sort of understand what he's doing, and I think she actually really enjoys wrestling, at least from everything I've heard. So I can see him continuing to do it for her benefit so she can see him wrestle, and probably for the older middle children as well, for them to get to see him wrestle and kind of have those memories of him in the business. You know, obviously his oldest child, who's in his 20s, you know, has plenty of memories, but for maybe his younger kids to give them the opportunity to see him and see him do his thing, I'm sure that's very appealing to him, because we've seen a lot of wrestlers who come back and do that return for their kids.
Shane McMahon did it for his kids.
Goldberg did it for his son.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of the 90s wrestlers coming back that now have children, and it's like, hey, I want my kids to see me wrestle one time live on the big stage so they can comprehend what it all was, so they can understand. Because it's one thing to be sitting there and say, oh, you know, back in the day, I fought so-and-so at WrestleMania, and it's like, oh, yeah, sure, Dad, that's great. You can watch it on the network, and it's like, yeah, that's cool. But to see it in person, that's something completely different. So I can see him that's one of the reasons why maybe he's not done quite yet, is that his youngest daughter is now old enough to comprehend what he's doing and really make those memories for her so she can see him. And also, I think he's doing it because he wants to get out of the house. It gives him something to do.
I think this also opens up the door for SummerSlam.
Yes. Yeah. That's the main reason why he's doing this, is probably they're setting up SummerSlam. But, you know, I just wanted to address that because I know a lot of people, and me included, where it's like, we all just want to see him hang it up and be happy, but I think he's not happy hanging it up. I don't think he's ready, and it's not WWE making him at this point. It's Mark Calloway, the person, is deciding, hey, I still want to go out there. I still want to wrestle. I feel good. And as long as he feels good, he's going to continue to work. It will not be a full-time schedule, but 4 to 5 times a year, that's enough to keep him busy.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot of talent there that he's seeing that he wants to work with.
Oh, without question.
Like, he's had to kind of sit on the sidelines and see all this wonderful talent come up from NXT and come in from outside. And he's just kind of had to been, like, really limited in terms of who he can face. And it's always at WrestleMania. And by the time he gets to WrestleMania, everybody's booked. So now it's, well, hey, if I wrestle 4 times a year, maybe I can get somebody that I really want. And I can work with somebody that I really want. Not to say that, you know, everybody he wrestles at WrestleMania, he doesn't want. But I mean, it's like in terms of, you know, say he wanted AJ Styles. He could get AJ Styles at a SummerSlam, or he could get him at a house show, or he could get him wherever he wanted him, pretty much. So it's that kind of thing, I think, for him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of appeal there.
Yeah.
So anyway, Taker's coming back at a house show.
We spent longer on this than probably any other podcast you will ever listen to.
Because I love The Undertaker. That is why.
Anyway.
I will talk me some Undertaker talk. Damn it.
Next. What's next?
Up next, just a quick note about the CM Punk trial. It has concluded. Punk and Cabana were found not guilty on all charges and are officially off the hook in terms of their slander case. Dr. Armani, I believe it was asking for $1 a download, which came out to around roughly $4 million
plus
damages.
Plus punitive damages.
Plus punitive damages. So Punk and Cabana are off the hook for that bill, thank goodness. So
yeah, that's awesome for them.
So congratulations to them. CM Punk is now able to focus on his fight, which is Saturday night. So best of luck to him on that. And Cole Cabana is able to move on as well.
Yeah. One thing I need to add about this whole thing was the jurors were like, why is Cabana involved in this? He has no business being involved in this. So it's like, from the get-go, they're wondering, like, why is he doing this? Why is he part of this? There was no need for him to be involved. So that's one note from the trial. Yes, it is all taken care of. There could be a little bit more coming from it, depending on CM Punk's behalf, if he would like to go down the road of trying to reclaim some funds, some legal fees. But it doesn't seem like he's going to go down that road, and he's just going to let everything be and move on and go fight this Saturday in the UFC and go from there.
Oh my god, I just saw the most redneck thing to end all redneck things, and I'm kind of ashamed. So we're having our governor's race here in Georgia. We're just gonna pause for a second, because I have to describe the horror to everybody. And it was an attack ad from one politician on another, and they're slandering this guy, right? And it's this, they're sitting on a front porch, which is totally Southern, and then the guy, out of nowhere, picks up a shotgun, loads it, readies it, and he's like, maybe you should run now? And the guy that they're supposedly slandering takes off and runs, and I'm just like, oh my god! Why? Why are you doing that? That's like, no! That is just so wrong!
America.
Georgia, y'all. Georgia. We are also the state that had the bus, which we are wholly ashamed of, and we apologize to anybody who was offended. That guy came in dead last, just so everybody's aware. It also broke down on the interstate, and we all laughed at him. So, anyway, back to wrestling.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Just to get us back on track. Who we got?
Just to get us back on track.
Who we got?
Oh my god, my state. Anyway, moving on, she says. We have Mandrews with a slight elbow injury.
Hashtag blame Brent.
We almost went 2 weeks without one. Almost.
Almost.
So.
There's that one and the other one?
There wasn't another one.
We talked about this one.
Did we?
Jeffrey Nero Hardy with a pinched nerve.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I didn't realize we were putting that on the show. I thought we were just talking about it.
I said put it on the list.
I did not hear that.
So, there you go. There's your injury roundup.
Professionalism, y'all. Professionalism.
We had a 5-minute conversation about it, and it wasn't put on the list.
Okay, you get to play your creepy sounder, but you only get to play your creepy sounder once.
Okay, I'll be get my creepy sounder.
So we also have a couple Blame Rocks. It was announced that Zeta was actually released a couple weeks ago. It just kind of came to light that she was released. And then one of the Ely brothers has also been released from NXT.
Asked for his release.
He asked for it.
Hashtag Blame Rock.
You're fired!
So,
Don't feel bad for Zeta. She is turned up in MLW.
There you go.
As of tonight. So there you go.
Go her. In happier news, Jenny from Progress Wrestling fame and UK Wrestling fame has signed a deal with WWE UK. So your current Progress Women's Champion is now part of WWE UK. She joins, at the very least, Toni Storm among the ranks for the new promotion.
Which has a general manager now.
It does have a general manager. Wrestling legend Johnny Saint is the GM of WWE UK, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. They have a general manager for a brand that wrestles once a year. Well, maybe more.
Maybe more. Something could be coming. We'll have to see. So, just a couple other quick things.
Stick with the UK.
Sticking with the UK, because I almost missed it. Thank you. The UK tourney over the summer, like we said last week, has been announced. They've got the roster, all that good happy stuff. It is set to air on June 25th and June 26th. We will alert you to the times.
3 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. BST.
There you go. So if you have to work, you can watch it on demand later. But yes, so if you want to see the show, 25th and 26th, respectively, both days.
So I would assume, okay, speculating, this is all speculation, that a forthcoming UK show will probably air at the same time-ish, 3 p.m. whenever here on the East Coast, whatever day it may air. But it could be on a Saturday at 3 p.m. It just because they're going to try to put that on prime time in the UK, so do the math. Just saying. Speculation. Could be wrong. It might just be an on-demand show, but I would assume it streams first at a certain point, on a certain date, 3 p.m. And then it would air again, probably 8 p.m. our time.
Probably.
So I'd assume maybe on a Thursday or a Saturday, something to that effect. Just spitballing. Unless they do it back-to-back with NXT on Wednesdays. I don't know.
Which they could.
They could. I'm just spitballing. No inside information.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll get there. I mean, like, nothing has been officially announced, but I would expect big news to come in the next few weeks if they're naming a general manager.
Yeah, when they're taping on the 17th, or the 18th, rather, they're going to announce stuff.
So, here we go. WWE UK, here it comes. Yay!
It's a thing.
Just a couple other quick notes. Johnny Mundo, a.k.a. Johnny Impact,
a.k.a.
John Morrison.
John Morrison, a.k.a. Johnny Nitro, a.k.a. Johnny whatever promotion he's in.
It's officially Johnny married
to Taya Valkyrie.
So congratulations to the both of them. He got married this past weekend and had some interesting Instagram pictures.
He had all his buddies from the 2007 year of WWE with him.
All Ziggler looks good in a suit.
All his boys, Ziggler, Miz, Ryder, you name it, they were all there.
Yes, they were. I can't wait for video, if there is video. And last but certainly not least, like we told you, I think last week, or maybe we didn't. No, I don't think we talked about this. We talked about it, but not on the air. Stephanie McMahon is going to be on Undercover Boss. Pictures have been released of her. And all I'm going to say to all you listening folks out there, if you get a chance and you find this picture of Undercover Boss, hold it up.
It's on WWE.com.
Just hold it up next to a picture of Michelle McCool from circa 2007, 2008, whenever she was doing the teacher thing. Just do it. You will not be disappointed. You can't unsee it either. That's all I'm gonna
say. We talked about it during Fortnite, so we didn't do it on the show.
Right. That's right. That's right. We talked about it during Fortnite. That's right. Because I scarred Brim with it. That's why.
That's why.
Yeah. Okay. Camp WWE?
Camp WWE. Final episode. Thoughts?
I'm so sad it's the final episode. Why? I love this show so much. Why can't we have nice things?
Because nice things are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this episode was Vince Taker-ish centric. So many Ministry of Darkness references. So many damn Ministry of Darkness references. Like, oh my god. It was just insane. We had Paul Bearer, haunting Vince McMahon, threatening a reckoning unless Vince McMahon moved the camp on his own, and he was being haunted by the ghosts of dead people summoned by Bearer. We had many references to the Undertaker's leather pants.
His swampiness in his leather pants.
The swampiness in his leather pants, because it's in the middle of summer, to which I would like to believe that as Vince McMahon said that, or afterwards, or whenever he saw it, that he promptly texted the Undertaker and told him that, hey, I'm about to make a joke about your dick. I would like to believe that in my soul that that actually happened and gave him utter crap for it because there's nothing the Undertaker can do about it, which would be amazing. We had John Cena conflicted with publishing Good News, Bad News, and basically, you know, he and Nikki argue over the fact that, you know, hey, stuff is going missing all over the camp, and hey, Vince McMahon isn't who you think he is, and we should tell everybody, and Cena's like, no, we're only gonna print Good News because that it's the Good News Gazette. We had a couple Deep Throat references.
Just keep going.
Just so many references in this episode. So many references. But in the end, it turns out that the haunting by Paul Bearer is actually caused by a gas leak in Vince's cabin. And, well, the day is saved. Cena fixes the gas leak. They all run, all the campers run to Vince McMahon's aid. And I forget how they do it. Cena does something. What does Cena do? Does he turn on the lights or does he turn on something? Anyway, he does something where he basically creates a spark and the house is still full of gas and so the house explodes.
Oh, they pulled Vince's finger for the fart.
That's right. They pulled Vince's finger.
I didn't think about it for a second. So wait, how did it explode? Yep, the old finger fart trick.
And they're like, oh my god, no! And Cena pulls Vince's finger and it explodes and, you know, Vince's house explodes and then the camp explodes and out on the lake, drinking a beer in a canoe, is Austin. And he's like, I fucking love this place.
Yep.
And that is how Camp WWE ends. And it's just like, I'm so sad that we are not going to get any more of it. Because I adore this show so much. Sassy Taker. Sassy Taker is my world. And he's gone. And I'm so sad.
Maybe we'll get another season.
I had such a good idea that they could get Mark Calloway to play his own character's father. Like they did Triple H. And he could be Big Tex Taker. And he's just this big biker redneck dude to this goth evil kid. Because I think one of my favorite parts was they're telling ghost stories at the beginning, and that's how the Ministry of Darkness references start, is they have the Undertaker character talking about the Ministry of Darkness, and when he gets done, they all look at him and they're like, what happened to you that made you be this way? Like, it was awesome. And Taker's like, eh, screw you, I'm out. And he levitates off. Because the speculation is maybe he was loved too much. Maybe he wasn't loved enough. Maybe he was just born that way.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
No, it's Sephora Guyliner.
But maybe it's Maybelline.
I think I adore how many shots they took at the Undertaker. The whole show. Because you know they had fun. And I feel like that's how they got a lot of the people to do this show. Was it's like, basically, you can sit there and tell jokes at other people's expense, and there's nothing they can do about it. And that's how they probably got, like, pretty much everybody to do this. More or less.
More or less.
That and they paid them. But, you know, basically you get to talk crap about people, which I'm sure that's what got Vince on board. And it appeals to his general humor, I think.
Oh, it's his humor.
Totally his humor.
Totally.
So that does it for Camp WWE and us. So I say we take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about one of the other big stories, which is, could Shawn Michaels be entertaining a return? We'll have to see. So you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we'll be right back. Y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/rackradioshow.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names, Frank Nyberg versus Joe Newwensiken. Newwendik.
I'm going to go with Newendike.
Yes,
Newendike. Wow. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was going to help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park against Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the
Messier.
Hell?
Fucking lynch him. Get a rope.
He has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till he gets to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a D. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borkula.
Bjork? Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jobber. Way to play into it.
Pavel Bure. What? How do they have spell?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh my
Fuck
god.
You French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Aginla? Versus Joe Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aginla, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, Sakic. So I'm going to go with Joe.
Just second on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/rackradioshow.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to my friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or Gerwick.net, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. So, now we're going to talk about Rock's favorite wrestler.
Yes.
So excited he gets to have a Shawn Michaels night.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you lead this because he's your favorite.
He is my favorite. He's my all-time favorite. So to promote the upcoming UK Championship tournament later this month.
Because we're cool like that.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels spoke to Sky Sports about, you know, wrestling and about the idea of doing one more match. His quote is saying it would have to be done the right way. And just for one match, rather than something that ran for longer. He also noted it could be possible, but people would have to accept they wouldn't be getting the showstopper, the icon, Mr. WrestleMania. He's 52 years old now. He's not that type of guy. He noted that if this one match would happen, it'd be in a tag team situation where Hunter and I could just do a few crotch chops and have some fun. He's 52 now, he's cut his hair, but the man probably still go and have one more match. So our discussion tonight... Who should he face?
Everybody. The whole damn roster.
But more specifically, who should he fix? Who's that one dream match that would tear the house down?
Honestly, I feel like, at least to me, I don't know if it's a dream match, but it would kind of bring things full circle for Sean, and that's Sean and Dan O'Brien, in the sense that Sean trained Brian.
Sean trained Brian, and they did have that set up a while ago where it could have gone down, even though it was never a thing. And it was like when it was Punk and Brian doing a duo thing, and Sean super kicked Brian, and it could have been a thing, and it wasn't a thing. And we talked about on the show how cool would it be for Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels to face off. One of the great discussions we've had in the 6 years of the Mac, celebrating June 28th, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. See how I wedged that one in there?
God, have we really been doing this 6 years?
Yeah. So,
time flies, y'all. Time flies.
Time flies. And Sean was a former guest of the show, by the way.
Twice.
Sean's mentioned Daniel Bryan as a possible choice. He also mentions AJ Styles as a choice.
I would be perfectly fine with Sean versus AJ Styles.
Johnny Gargano, he mentions as well.
Gargano is a good choice.
Now, here's the name I thought of, and then I thought of this once the story broke, and like, who could he fight? And what would tell a really good story? And then I've seen a couple other people mention it on other syndicated radio programs. Tommaso Ciampa.
Get out of my head. Please get out of my head.
No, it's so warm and nice. And but no.
Bray Wyatt filled.
Bray Wyatt filled. Taker filled. Anyway. But no, Ciampa. The character of the Ciampa that is being portrayed right now.
Oh, God.
Would be the perfect choice for an opponent.
I would say if you're going to do, yeah, a full-blown feud with Sean, absolutely. I feel like Tommaso would be perfect. Even for a one-off, you could make it work. You just have to really build it up and let Tommaso do his thing. But yeah, I mean, he would be good. I wouldn't mind, since I mentioned him, seeing Bray and Sean.
That would be interesting. But hold on. So, let's stick on Ciampa for a sec, because Ciampa was aware of this, how other shows have talked about it, right?
Oh no, what did he do?
There's a reason Short Hair Sean didn't mention me by name. I welcome 97 Sean back with open arms. Hell, I will even tolerate 2009 Sean, but 2018 Sean, give me a break.
Tommaso! You be nicer to your Uncle Sean.
But no, you mentioned Bray Wyatt. From a psychological standpoint, it could work. You could tell a decent story between the two. But another name just for quality of match? Seth Rollins.
Seth would be good. Luke Harper would be good.
It would be a good technical match, but it would not be on my list.
But if you're just having Sean go out there and do a one-off, I feel like Luke and Sean could really put together a very, very good match, because Luke could compensate for anything that Sean is lacking at this point, which honestly, I'm sure he's not lacking for a lot, but he hasn't been in the ring for 8 years, and he is older, things have caught up with him, yada, 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 yada. There's a certain decline that happens, and so for a one-off, you really need somebody in there that could cover Sean's flaws and make him look like a million bucks. And that person is for sure Luke Harper or Seth Rollins or somebody with that level of experience to do that.
You know what the one match I don't want to see?
Sean and Roman.
Yep.
No offense to Roman Reigns.
No offense to Roman Reigns. It's just, we all know what it would be.
I mean, if it's what Sean wants, it's what Sean wants, but I don't think it's what Sean wants.
That would be Roman Reigns, Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch, spear. I'd get on the air and rant and rave after the match how awful it was because of Sean putting Roman over.
So
I wouldn't be happy with that. Now, okay, so let's go with the scenario he laid out where he wants to do it with Hunter. He wants a tag with Hunter. They can do a few crotch chops and have some fun. A tag team situation. New Day versus DX.
Oh my God.
The build-up shenanigans to that would be hilarious.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would be so funny. Oh, crap. Who else? Ugh.
DX versus The Bar would be would be good.
It would be good.
From a technical standpoint, it would be really good.
I would almost want to see DX versus British Strong Style, but it's Trent and Tyler. Just for the shenanigans.
If you were going to have a shenanigans fight, yeah.
If it's not going to be a serious wrestling match and you're going to have shenanigans, I would love to see British Strong Style. But in terms of the singles, because he just popped into my brain, Sean and Pete Dunne.
And here's the thing about all this. And this is why it's coming out. And this is why Sean always turned it down. He turned down the proposal for AJ. But it's like, the theory is, in my head, why it's like, maybe I'll do it. Because it was for a long time, it said, no, not going to happen. I'm retired. He's been down in NXT. He's working with the kids. He's working with Hunter's kids. As Hunter now knows, we call him, they're his NXT kids. He knows all about it.
I love that Triple H knows that we call him NXT dad. I love that he knows that.
It's a thing.
I'm a little scared about what else Hunter knows that we call him, because there are certain things out there that we call Hunter that we're not going to go into on this show, and I'm worried he might know that, but if he does, I'm sure he takes it as a compliment. At least I hope he would. It's meant as a compliment.
From a contrast, from a style standpoint, someone who is going to maybe could be the next type of Shawn Michaels, Adam Cole Shawn Michaels.
Adam Cole and Shawn Michaels would be interesting.
Would be really good, because Shawn's grooming him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's like, you can see Shawn's
influence
on him. You can see the training he's giving him, the knowledge he's giving him. You can see how he's giving it to a bunch of guys down there. And him working with them and being around the ring every day whenever he's there, it's like, the bug is there again.
Yeah, I mean, they got Shawn out of wrestling, and he walked away from wrestling, and he set his peace with it, and he was done. And then they've slowly been pulling him back in to the business, and now he's working down, like you said, down at NXT with Hunter's kids. And yeah, he's getting bit again. He's seeing the talent that's there. He knows the talent that's on the main roster. And it's kind of like, okay, all right, you know, if I want to do a one-off where it's like one more, let's do one more, but it's going to be Hunter and I. It's not going to be a singles match where he just probably wants to get in the ring and have fun. It's not he wants it to be serious or anything like that. He just wants to have fun with it. And why shouldn't he? You know?
Oh, yeah. But the problem is there's not a lot of tag teams that you can do that with. Because let's face it, there are not a lot of tag teams on the roster that you go, they're great. There are a few good ones, but there's not a lot of great ones.
Bray and the Idiot Boyfriend.
As the Capitals take the lead. No. I mean, no. I just think the styles clash too much, especially with Matt.
Yeah. What about the other brother? What about the best team?
I mean, if you want classic DX shenanigans against the B team, I mean, that's a thing. But if that happened, there would be complete burial of the B team. And that is something we do not endorse here on the Rack.
No, in fact, speaking of endorsements, since we're giving out endorsements tonight, the B team has their own shirt. We talked about it on Monday night. It's available for pre-order now at www.shop.com. Please go check it out. Please go buy it. Support Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, because we're trying to get them tag team championships, even though it will hurt me in fantasy. But I want to see them, like, screw up and beat Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, and they just both kind of stand there like WTF. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm just thinking, you know, it's like in terms of a fun match and shenanigans, who could they face? You'd almost do Bryan and Ziggler if you wanted to. Or not Bryan and Ziggler, Bryan and Rollins. Don't put Ziggler against Shawn Michaels. He may absorb his powers.
All right, here you go. Owens and Zayn versus DX.
I would be okay with that.
Balor and Rollins. Yeah, that would work. Okay, you're completely forgetting something with Rollins.
What?
Come on.
The Shield?
There you go.
It would have to be Rollins and Ambrose.
There you go. That's the name.
Ambrose isn't healed yet.
But who said Shawn's wrestling tomorrow?
We don't know when Dean's going to be better.
Dean will be back by SummerSlam.
We hope.
He's on track for SummerSlam. So says my inside sources inside my head.
Oh.
No, that would be like in the time frame.
He would be in the time frame, but we'll see how he's healing, because not sure. I think I heard he was healing all right, but I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, Rollins and Ambrose would be cool. Ambrose and Michaels would be a very interesting combination. I think it could be really good, because Dean can work with just about anybody.
All right, here's the scenario with Shawn and Dean. It could be really, really good or really, really awful. I don't think there's an in-between, you know?
I feel like the promo work would be really good.
Yeah, the promo would be all right. But yeah, it's an interesting scenario. Okay, here's one name. The Velveteen Dream.
I was thinking about that, but I feel like Dream, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, like you said, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it's like just Dream just needs a little bit more polish.
In terms of a character, the Dream character versus a returning Shawn Michaels would work. It won't happen, but it would be a scenario. I'd be on board for that scenario. But there's so much talent. You go up and down the roster. There's so much talent they have. Any name you really can throw out there, it would work. Because it's Shawn, and Shawn, despite being out for 8 years, knows the psychology in the ring. Where guess what? He won't take a lot of bumps. He knows how to hide his, you know, oldness. And he would be fine. Shawn, in the end, wasn't really doing a whole lot either. He was doing a lot of selling. And guess what? He can do his elbow drop. If he can still do the elbow drop, we all know he can still hit the super kick. That's all that matters. He can do an atomic drop. Bam, a slam. His moveset is very simple. It's not that hard on his body. It would work. I don't know. I'd be on board for it. If you want to do a WrestleMania next year, I'm on board for it.
Takeover. Do it at Takeover. Especially if you're going to use one of the NXT kids.
If you use an NXT kid, you do a Takeover. If it's a main roster guy, you do it at WrestleMania. Because he is Mr. WrestleMania.
He is Mr. WrestleMania. But so if you have any suggestions of the names that we didn't mention in this discussion, feel free to tweet them at us at Rec Radio Show, Instagram us, whatever. It's all Rec Radio Show, so just feel free, reach out, talk to us, because we love it when you guys interact, so interact with us. But I say we take our second and final break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Alrighty, when we come back, we're doing all your favorite SmackDown, NXT, and Tweet of the Week. You'll listen to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas.
It's not about you.
Technically, it's all about me.
Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
My husband doesn't know what a quickie is.
Ew.
Listen to how sensitive he is. My husband can't have like 2 minutes to 5 minutes of sex because he needs to start out with making out,
yeah,
and touching.
Whatever, that's
and,
fine.
Like,
no, that's
all
fine.
The time. All the time. Which I love, but sometimes I'm like, no, a quickie, like, come on.
Why don't you just say, hey, dude. Penis.
No, Cameron. I'll just be like, well, I can give, I guess for guys you call it a hand job.
Yeah, so what up?
No, I do. I have them do it all the time.
Yeah, it's so not great. Sex. That's fantastic.
Check out the Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
My mother is getting more than me. It doesn't take him an hour to get up, I will tell you that.
People power!
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. you can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/rackradioshow.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And, well, I'm, like, really impressed that you found this many incarnations of Shawn Michaels' theme song.
And there's still one to go.
And there's still one to go. Like, I'm really impressed you found that many incarnations of it. Because he's used the same theme for years.
Yep. And, you know, people like to, you know, do their own versions of it. And we only threw the DX song in there because he also used that. And, yeah, there's still one more left. But I like the 8-bit one.
Yeah, the 8-bit one was cool.
Yeah.
So, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Okay, so this isn't a tweet, but I had to grab the conversation because it was just hilarious. So, Baron Corbin on Instagram posts out one of two new additions to the family, and it's a weird-looking shrunken head mask thing. And Corey Graves responds with, "This is what you do with your in your free time between cleaning up Raw and thwarting train robberies. Hashtag the Constable." And Baron Corbin replies, "I'm going to fight you." I love their friendship so much. It's amazing. Anyway, on to real tweets. Jordan Taylor tweets The Rock, "This is a long shot, but Rock, we really need you to settle a Men's Health Mag office debate. What's the best song in Moana?" The Rock responds, "Let it go." You're welcome. SpongeBob, the official SpongeBob Twitter, tweets The Rock and goes, "Hey Rock, what inspired your nickname? Patrick Star's home? Either way, we love it. Say something nice day." And The Rock responds, "Hi Bob, which nickname are you referring to? Big Daddy, The Rock, Samoan Thor, Beef Fiston, or the inappropriate one I earned back in college? P.S. Love your work. DJ.
I had that one.
Sorry.
All good.
Sheamus, the longest-running undisputed champion of handsomeness in WWE history. Who can take my crown? No one. And he tweets a picture of himself in a leather jacket, white t-shirt, and jeans. Cesaro responds with, "For those wondering, the secret to the bar's success is, it's Sheamus being so sexy. Hashtag Sheamus is daddy." I love their friendship so much. And that's all I have.
Corey Graves, "I'm looking forward to my future indie bookings as old-timer who tells everyone they're doing it wrong. Matt Coon, can you get a Twitter with a handle with numbers in it and a confusing merchandise platform?" Corey Graves, "I figure that if I spell my name that I don't own in a confusing enough manner, I'll avoid litigation and make a buck or two off of funny things I've said in the past." Oh, Corey.
Okay, who are they taking shots at?
I don't know, but probably indie wrestlers. Kayla Braxton, "Just woke up from a dream that I was going to meet The Rock and interview him today at WWE Baton Rouge. Well, that's not happening, but what is happening is a huge show featuring your favorite WWE superstars. Meet me there. Okay, thanks, bye." Oh, and Dwayne, "You're totes invited." The Rock goes, Ha, I'll totes see you there, Paryush. I like that he interacts with people.
I love his Twitter. It's so entertaining.
The Velveteen Dream. Ricochet may not get the bonus pay for going over at TakeOver, but the Dream will make sure you get that hot dog and handshake you're used to after the match. Hashtag Indie Payday.
Yeah, I'm sure Dream would love to receive Ricochet's hot dog and a little handshake, if you know what I'm saying.
Scott Dawson, I almost divorced my wife after asking about the potatoes. Also, this is the text message. Also, do we have potatoes? No. Too sweet?
Oh, dear.
Someone asked Tyler Breeze, would you ever consider making up a game channel and calling it Down, Down, Up, Up? Hashtag Ask Breeze. You mean left, right, left, right? Continues. Hold on. That's girlfriend. Just start a gaming channel called Down, Down, Up, Up with Luke Harper and begin contesting with Austin's channel. He made an empire. I'd be bought out in minutes. So Pop Finals goes, so who's the worst gamer amongst the WWE Universe? And who is the most obnoxious when they win? Kofi is the worst winner and loser. And overall, just not good. Gotta be Harper.
Aww, poor Luke. He tries really hard.
Pop Vinyls goes, haha, I now imagine Harper tossing around the remote after losing and then yearning for the simpler days of this butte, which is the old Nintendo controller. Let's see. Let's continue on, because I gotta scroll back down now. Just want to get on all in one conversation. Curtis Axel goes, B stands for so much more, like, hard. Don't ever lose focus. Go after your dreams. Keep going forward. When you get knocked down, pick yourself up. Stay positive. Hard. When life gives you a lemonade, make more of it. Life is a treat. Eat it up. Hard. Hashtag B Team. Mike's Hard Lemonade. When life gives you lemonade, make it hard.
Thanks, Mike's.
Luke Harper tweeted about his awesome special on the YouTubes. Renee Young, this made me cry on my flight over my breakfast sandwich. Also, I may or may not be near my emotional time of the month. Oh, Renee.
At least we know she's not pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Brit Breaker, had such a relaxing week in Pucks and Tony with my family. I'm such a lucky girl to have so much love and support in my life. Tomorrow I'll start the next chapter and head to Florida. I'm coming for you, Adam Cole. And my shoe collection is two. Adam Cole goes, I'm ready. The shoes, though, no one can prepare for those shoes. They're a couple, just so people are aware.
I'm sure he's beyond ready for her to be down there, actually.
Yeah. Someone asks, when are you and Renee getting your own show? He goes, in talks with MySpace. She replies, I hear AOL might have some space opening up.
Not tout.
And Ziggler goes, bidding war. And she goes, we'll get them right where we want them. Because, you know, all that money. Yeah. That's Tweet of the Week.
All right. SmackDown?
Let's do SmackDown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So, we had a lot of stuff happen on this show. Some good, some bad. The kids showed up. My beardy sons. I was very happy about that. We'll get to them. But we need to talk about the contract signing on this show. And what a fantastic a-hole Shinsuke Nakamura is. God, I love him. Turning him heel has been the best decision they have made so far. And so this happens in the back. They don't do this in public. Basically, AJ and Shinsuke, they sit down. They exchange insults. Paige is trying to referee this, you know, and have a civil contract signing. And basically, Shinsuke is just being Shinsuke. The pin doesn't work. I forget what the other problems was, but I know for sure that basically the running gag was he couldn't get the pin to work. He was having problems with it. And he just kept poking at AJ and irritating AJ until finally AJ just has enough. And smacks the crap out of Shinsuke.
And then you have Malenko and Adam Pearce pull him off.
So many Adam Pearce appearances this week. Go Adam Pearce. He should just become a regular. That's all I'm saying. But, so they have to do a pull apart brawl. AJ spews insults at Shinsuke while Shinsuke holds his face. Paige is shocked. And they drag AJ off after he signed the contract, of course, which he did in the beginning. And Shinsuke kind of is holding his face after AJ's gone. And then he smiles and he pulls his hand his way. And he's like, oh, look, the pen works.
He pulled it out of his pocket. Oh, pen, it works.
It works. And then he signs the contract. It's like, God damn, that's brilliant.
Okay. It was good contract signing. I have one thing to say. Can that be the last contract signing we see in 2018?
Yeah, they've hit that a little bit too hard.
I mean, it's the go-to move right now. We've seen at least, I would say, 10 contract signings this year. At least it feels that way. It's enough. I know it's a crutch. It's a way to get people in the ring together. Find another way to get people in the ring together because the contract signing is old, it's tiring, and you're running out of ways to do it. this was a good way to do it, but it's getting a little tiresome.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And I thought that before they did this. I thought, oh God, we're going to go in the ring. We're going to have the normal contract signing. At least they did it differently.
They did do it differently. They tried things on this show. Not all of them worked.
Not all of them worked.
But they did try things with this show to sort of do something different. And they did the contract signing, like I said, backstage, which I actually liked it backstage. It felt more formal because it's like, you know, every time they do a contract signing, they do it in the ring, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to go through the damn table.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they did it backstage, there was kind of an unexpected air to it because it's like, oh, are they going to put somebody through a table backstage? That kind of seems like a waste, but they could do it. You know, this was really well done.
So one of the themes of the show was, it was very women-centric.
Yes.
It started with Carmella opening the show. She talked about not being scared of Asuka. She showed some truths about Asuka. How she's no longer the same person she once was after losing to Charlotte at WrestleMania. You know, Carmella's beaten Charlotte Flair twice, in case you're not aware of this.
Asuka's beaten everybody twice.
Twice. I know. Well, not Charlotte. Just not Charlotte. Carmella said no one was used to be ready for Asuka, but everyone is. So, Asuka came out, and they have a little stare down. Then you have Mandy and Sonya, they came down. And Mandy talked about she was a second away from beating Asuka. And she can beat her again tonight, but Sonya said there's just enough left that she can beat Asuka. And they were going back and forth about who should, you know, pick one. And like Carmella said, you pick one of them. And then it's like, Asuka could have at this point, this is where, here's like some criticism, Asuka could just pick them and it could have been done. But no, you had Paige come out and said, she's the one who makes the matches. And then we just rerun the scenario again for her Asuka to choose, which she chose both. It's like, we just had the scenario, they could have ended it, but you had to throw Paige out there to redo the segment. The scenario, again, it felt a little forced.
I really don't like how they're using Paige as a GM. I mean, it's a little hard to buy Paige as a GM as it stands, but I don't like how they're using her as a GM, if that makes sense to anybody.
I just don't
like her role in this show.
I think it's improving, but I can see your side of it. She doesn't feel like an authority.
She doesn't feel like an authority, and she's very flippant. And AJ Lee was very similar. Like, it was hard to buy AJ as an authority figure, but AJ made it work. AJ figured out how to make it work, and AJ kind of had that air of authority to her. Paige comes out, and she's trying, but it's like, it's a very playful delivery, and it's just like, no, that's, like, I'm not saying she has to be, like, super stiff as a board street serious, but it's just, well, I make the matches around here, and yada, 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 you know, just basically the whole way that she's being presented, it's just hard to buy her as an authority figure.
By the way, the Washington Capitals finally won the Stanley Cup, so congratulations to them.
Oh, did what's his bucket? Ovechkin? No, yeah, him.
Ovechkin. Yes, he won the Stanley Cup.
Yay! He finally got it.
Anyway, so getting back to the show, it turned out to be Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville taking on Asuka. The match was actually pretty alright. Carmella was good on commentary. She was ignoring Byron Saxton was a lot of fun.
I kind of want Sonya Deville versus Asuka.
I think we'll probably get it this coming Tuesday.
Because there were some things happening in that match that's like, ooh.
There was one knee that she really caught her on. It was like, ooh.
But there was like, when Sonya like yanks her off the ropes and slams her down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do the reversals into the submission hold. There was some magic going on there. There's some chemistry there. I wouldn't mind seeing a feud or a series of matches.
Let's see. So Asuka choked her out and got the win. We had a stare down again, which ended up with Carmella laying out Asuka with a super kick after Mandy Rose came in to try to attack Asuka, causing the distraction. Carmella hit her with the belt and the super kick to end it there. I thought that was good. Get some heat on Carmella. That was good.
Yeah, it was good.
We had stuff with The Miz and The New Day backstage. They were trying to offer an apology. They were like, here, you can pick a name out of the hat who's going to be the person in Money in the Bank. Instead, he sticks his hand in pancake batter. He then wiped it all over Mr. Bootyworth, which was the setup for part of the main event, which we'll get into in a minute. Karl Anderson and Luke Harper wrestled for like 3 minutes. They need more time. It's been a long time, you see, since Harper has been actually in the ring as a singles in terms of long matches, so giving him 3 minutes, like, he needs to get in there longer.
He needs to get in there longer, especially against somebody like Karl Anderson. Like, those two could really go and have a really, really good match, but I understand what they're doing with the Bludgeon Brothers. They don't want them to be out there long. They don't want them to be doing these drawn-out matches, but let them work.
Harper's first loss of the year.
I know.
Also on the show, we had Jimmy and Naomi defeat Lana and Aiden English. Lana looked all right in the match.
Lana has improved.
Yeah.
Lana continues to improve. I don't think she will ever be the greatest thing ever, but Lana's putting in the work and she's trying.
Yeah, she's definitely trying.
And I don't, you know, honestly, I don't think she was really that terrible when she debuted. I thought she was fine.
She's just, like, she's more comfortable now.
She is more comfortable now. She's in her style because she's working more. So she's getting experience under her belt. And that's the thing with Lana was she could execute the moves, but she didn't have that polish on her because she just didn't have the ring experience. She was completely green. You could see that. And now she's getting better. She's flowing better. She's moving better. So yeah, I mean, I think Lana has improved. And I feel like she gets a lot of unnecessary crap because of the circumstances that she was put in. Originally, where people are like, oh, she's terrible, but it's like, honestly, I've seen a, and this is not meant to be an insult to Lana, I've seen a lot worse in that company. A lot worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to see some bad women's wrestling? You just go watch anything in the Diva era? Yeah. There's some crap out there, let me tell you.
Jackie Gata. Moving on to good women's wrestling. Becky Lynch took on Charlotte. They had
this
so
was
much,
hilarious.
They had so much fun in the ring together.
I love the spot where they got each other's foot, or Becky got Charlotte's foot, and Charlotte's like, put it down, put it down.
They first did the tea time thing.
Yes.
And then they try to kick each other, and then they're like, put it down, and they did, slowly, slowly.
Yeah, they counted to three, they're like, one, two, three, puts it down and backs away.
But this turned out to be a really fun match, and Becky made Charlotte tap out.
So proud.
I was so happy they gave us this match. Because going in, this was the one match I wanted to see on the show. And guess what? They actually delivered it, unlike the Daniel Bryan Samoa Joe match that we were promised last weekend we didn't get.
So disappointed that didn't happen. Very disappointed that didn't happen. It happened, but it just, Cass did not need to be in that match. We would have all been fine with Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe. I think we all were fine with that. And then they had to throw Cass in that mix, and it was just like, why?
Speaking of Big Cass.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
We are not going to discuss that. That didn't happen.
Did you know Big Cass is 7 foot tall?
Oh my God, really?
I know, it's something you can't teach. He's a big guy. Did you know Daniel Bryan's a small guy?
Really?
I know.
Holy crap.
Did you know Daniel Bryan's win at WrestleMania 30 was a fluke? I call BS one.
Wait, which win? Because there's technically two.
Exactly. That's BS. Okay. So, Cass is, I'm a big guy. Big guys get all the opportunities. Little guys get fluke wins. And I'm going to rid everything of big guy, of little guys. And it's like, the promo sucked. The promo really, really sucked. He's out there in the old style setup where it's like, there's a little stage and you see the crowd behind him. It's like the old Mean Gene set where he would interview wrestlers. This was awful promo. It went on way too long. Big Cass is boring. He cannot get any crowd reaction that he wants. He's not working out as a heel. He's not working out in general. The match with Daniel Bryan is not going to be that great because it wasn't great at Backlash. So I have no hopes for it at Money in the Bank.
My whole big thing with it is it's like Cass's value is way beyond his size and his height. And it's like, if that's the only thing, like in terms of, oh, hey, I'm taller than you. If that's the only thing you can say about Daniel Bryan, which let's be honest, it's hard to find faults in Daniel Bryan. He is pretty awesome. Then maybe you need to revisit your life choices. Just a little bit, because this whole thing is like, it's basically, well, I'm taller than you, so we're going to fight. Wait, what?
We've already seen Daniel Bryan kick his ass in a match and just in the ring in general. So it's like, it really doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't move the monitor. And I get it. Whatever they're going to give Bryan for SummerSlam, I assume is going to be better. I could be entirely wrong on that. I probably am. But this feels like a placeholder for both of them until they're ready to move them on. But it's like, in terms of Cass, it's just like, the writing for him is just so terrible. It's like, this is the best you have for him? Is, oh, hey, I'm tall and I'm strong and you're tiny and you shouldn't be getting opportunities because you're tiny. That's such BS. Like, come on. Really? You can't do better than that?
I wouldn't call it a placeholder because they have expectations of Big Cass being a number one heel or number two heel in the brand.
And they need to write him better if they want that.
Oh, I know.
Like, you know, honestly, you could have Cass be entirely bitter about the fact of, oh, well, you know, while you've been screwing around trying to get cleared for the last few years, I've been here holding it down. And now you're going to come in and you're going to cut to the front of the line and you're going to basically feel like you can just pick back right back up where you left off and ignore the fact that all of us are here. That's a better reason for Cass to be upset at Brian than the fact that Brian is tiny.
Speaking of tiny, Zelina Vega interrupted a Sin Cara promo, which then saw Sin Cara get beat up by Andrade.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, it's fine. And then in your main event, The New Day beat Rusev, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. Good main event.
Very good main event. Very, very entertaining.
SmackDown was fine. It was an easy 2 hours.
SmackDown was better than, I feel like, Raw little bit.
Yeah.
It was more entertaining.
Yep, went by fast, and more diversity in characters. You had a lot of different people. You had a lot of women, and Raw felt like you had a bunch of... the first 40 minutes was just the same people, so this felt different. When even though the first half hour was one match and a setup to the match, it was different people, and it felt different.
Yep. So speaking of different, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
I'm just going to let you go on Shayna Baszler and Nikki Cross. Go.
Oh my god, this promo! Oh my god! I love this feud already. I'm so used to giving, and now I'm receiving, and I'm so happy with this. Shayna Baszler doesn't have the first damn clue what to do with Nikki Cross, and it's fabulous! Like, she's utterly confused by Nikki, because Nikki is the one person on that roster who does not give a crap about Shayna. She's just like, whatever, and is just being her crazy little self, crazy like a fox, just yes. All the yes to this. Give me more. I loved it. Can you tell? Can you tell I loved it?
Yeah. They ended up brawling. It was a fun brawl, and Nikki got the better of Shayna.
I'm very much looking forward to this match in Chicago. This is going to be really, really fun. I have a hunch. And if this is what they kept Nikki Cross down in NXT for, I will forgive them for it.
TM61 beat a couple of guys. Nothing really to say there.
It was a thing. It was there.
We had a training video where Lars Sullivan was beating up people at the Performance Center. I believe one of them was the Mahabalashira.
Maybe.
I think it was the last one he beat up. They're pushing Lars as the contender for Aleister Black coming up at TakeOver. You had Roderick Strong and Danny Burch. Fine little match.
It was a good match. We need to talk about what happened after the match, because Angry Peter is Angry Peter.
Yep. What happened? Tell him.
Basically, Pete Dunne comes out of nowhere and goes after Undisputed Era and Roderick Strong. He punched the ever-living crap out of Adam Cole, which Adam Cole oversold like a champ. It was awesome. And yeah, Angry Pete Dunne is Angry Pete Dunne. Please do not piss him off. He will bite you.
But in the end, the baby faces got left laying.
Yes.
Cassius Ohno was having a photo shoot, and then in walked EC3. They were joking around, and they set up a matchup for next week. Your comment on EC3, go.
Ethan, honey, you need to stop tanning. You look like a burned chicken nugget, okay? We get it. You're tan. Please stop. I am worried about your health. He's very, very tan.
Yeah.
We're talking like Hulk Hogan level tan.
Mm-hmm. We had a good video package interview thing with Velveteen Dream and Ricochet. It was good stuff.
They just need to bang already, good lord!
You mean a bang? Bang, bangity bang. I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
I mean, God, I love this food. Don't get me wrong. It's great. But it's just like, would you two just please just kiss? Just please do it. I mean, we this is so unnecessary. We're all cool with you two just hooking up. But yeah, I think my favorite thing that came out of this was that Velveteen Dream does not remember being in Tough Enough. He's like, that never happened. That was not a thing. But we have pictures. Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Not a thing.
That was Patrick Clark.
That was Patrick Clark. I am the Velveteen Dream. I love the crap out of that.
Kari Sane defeated Lacey Evans to, I guess, get the one up on her.
They didn't give Lacey post-sex hair. I was very happy. She had good hair this week.
Fine little match.
Fine little match. But yeah, her hair the last couple times has not been on point.
And then you had Tommaso Ciampa.
I hurt him so much.
You had Johnny Wrestling, Psycho Killer Chance going back and forth, and like, he told him, don't ever call me that. He talked about Johnny putting this all about him and how he's now Johnny Badass. He said it was adorable. Gargano said his Gargano almost crippled his wife a week ago. He said it was Gargano's fault because Gargano dragged everyone out. Ciampa said he was the only one defending himself. He was only defending himself. Ciampa said Gargano should listen to his wife and told him not to show up at TakeOver because this Gargano fairy tale is coming to an end without a happy ending. And he said Gargano and his wife will be broken. Yeah.
Wrong gimmick.
Gargano came out, pushing security aside. They started the brawl. And Johnny kept pushing security away. They kept brawling. Ciampa then got the advantage and hit him with a big lariat to the back of the head, and then locked in their Gargano escape on Johnny to end the show.
Very nice ending to the show. Nice build. I like the fact that Candace was not involved. She should not be involved at this point, and you just have these two.
Oh, I should mention Gargano came back and hit it on Ciampa.
Yep.
But yeah, this is a great brawl. This feud is hot and ready, and yeah, I'm enjoying their feud so much.
It's been worth the wait.
Yeah, completely. They're doing this right.
Completely right, which you would hope at this point.
Next week, we're going to preview TakeOver.
Scary. And Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank.
You get to do it twice.
That's our show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
So, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
CB Radio this Saturday night, midnight-ish. We're doing musicals. And Jabber has something planned. It's CB Radio live, Saturday nights, midnight-ish. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday, Russell Talk Radio previews Money in the Bank, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Total Bella Season 3, Episode 3, now available. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, under Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're listening live to this very program, stick around, because in about 10 minutes or so, we'll be back live on twitch.tv/WTRLive for some Fortnite. Make sure you follow and subscribe to the Twitch channel. That way, you can know when we go live for any of our fine programming, because we'll be going live a lot. Fortnite and Wrestling Talk and all that fun stuff. Return of Tim, we'll see. This Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, tune in. That's all I got.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the awesome, amazing sponsors, Gerwick.net, Fightboot.com, and MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.